that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Book of Luke, Luke 8, verse 11. Let's hear again the interpretation of the parable. We've been studying this parable of the different kinds of soil, and time only permits to read the explanation or the interpretation of this teaching parable. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those seeds that fell by the wayside, because those words are understood, those seeds that fell by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They, or those seeds on the rock, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Excuse me. And those seeds which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That means completion, fullness, or maturity. They bring no fruit to perfection or maturity. But that seed on the good ground, is that, or those seeds are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. There's that continuation. That mark of genuine converts. They keep it. They maintain. They go on. They keep it. That is, they keep the word and bring forth fruit with patience. I want to preach this morning on this subject. The soils have faces. The soils have faces. Have you ever heard the expression, I'm going to put a face on that for you? Have you heard that expression? Put your hand up. I'm going to put a face on that for you. Where we paint a countenance, a description, to try to clarify what we're trying to say. Well, I'm going to put faces on these four kinds of soil this morning. The soils have faces. The soils represent real flesh and blood people. The soils represent never dying souls. And I'm sadly convinced, and I do say this with regret and grief, I'm sadly convinced that all four kinds of soil are represented in this congregation right now. I'm convinced that in a crowd of this size, all four kinds of soil are represented. There's the face of hard ground here right now, listening to me. There's the face of shallow ground, listening to me right now. And there is the face of thorny ground, listening to me right now. But also, thank God, in many cases, there's also the face of good ground, good soil, listening to me right now. The soils have faces. We've already seen that the first kind of soil is wayside soil or hard soil. And here, the seed falls by the wayside. The picture is the picture of a path. A path that's been made by workers who have to go across the field to take refreshment or beverage or to take messages to the workers. And they, because of the directive of the owner of the property, they all go on the same place. And as the workers pass over that time and time again, it becomes a wayside, or it becomes a path, and it becomes hard. And this speaks to us of a heart made calloused or unresponsive, a heart hardened by evil influences. Thoughts and desires that are evil. And the heart is hardened against spiritual sensitivities. It's hardened against spiritual receptivity by evil influences. Television programs that are ungodly. Videos that are ungodly. Magazines that are ungodly. And the heart is walked on and walked on and walked on by pornography or rock music, grunge rock, acid rock. Wicked input. A path is worn on the heart until it gets hard and it's no longer soft and tender to the truth of the seed, the word. Thoughts and desires go unchecked. And thoughts and desires that come into the mind go unforbidden and unrebuked. Most of us are tempted from time to time by thoughts and testings. But we can at least rebuke them. We can at least rebuke them and take them to the Master who has all power against temptation. But when our hearts get used to pornography and cursing and swearing and violence in the music we listen to, we no longer rebuke those wicked thoughts. We're hard. And so hard that we no longer even want to forbid those thoughts. We no longer even want to check those unwholesome lusts and desires. Evil is allowed to walk across the path of our life so often that that part of our life gets hard and isn't bothered anymore by cursing, swearing, jokes with double entendres. The heart is hard, no longer stirred. Are you still stirred when people take the name of our Lord in vain? Are you? I was in a store recently, and I heard a woman, I can't call her a lady. She didn't use the name God. She used the name which means anointed one, exalted one. She used the name of Christ, and she cursed using his name Christ. In front of children who were around her. A lady! There was a day in the United States when a woman like that would have been surrounded and said, you don't talk that way in this place of business. But there's a hard path worn across the heart of America, and we're getting used to wickedness. So we almost hear it now without even knowing that we're hearing it. Evil thoughts, evil speech goes unchecked and unforbidden. It creates hardness in the heart. Well, let's look at two who have the face of hard soil. The first one who has the face of hard soil is Pharaoh. Turn in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. The hard soil wears the face of a Pharaoh. The hard soil wears the face of a Pharaoh or someone like Pharaoh. Exodus 8, 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or relief from the plague, God had sent plagues to soften Pharaoh, get his attention. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or relief from the plague, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. First he hardens his own heart, then God hardens his heart. and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Verse 32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. The hard soil wears the face of one like Pharaoh. Then let me give you a second example. This one in the New Testament. Turn to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Verse 24. Acts 24, 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, the Christian soul winner, the Christian missionary. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, that is, as Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. But then he let rejection walk back and forth on the field in his heart. He let rejection walk back and forth several times very quickly. And as he let rejection, unbelief, rebellion walk back and forth very quickly, a hard path was placed upon his heart. And he said, go thy way. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. The hard soil also wears the face of a Felix, who hears and in the beginning is stirred, moved, and even trembles, but walks the path of rejection as quick as possible and ends up hardening his own heart. I need to tell you, it's easy for those of us raised in gospel preaching churches to get hard hearts. Far easier for those of us raised in gospel preaching churches than these people out here, either the up and outers in the wealthy areas or the down and outers on the other side of the track. You know, many up and outers have never heard. They've never once heard the gospel. People assume that because they're rich, they wouldn't respond. And sometimes we neglect the up and outers. Sometimes, however, we also neglect the down and outers. And we say, well, they wouldn't respond. Do you know, in a sense, those who've never heard are not as prone to hard-heartedness as most of us here this morning. Those who've heard it so often. Many of you have heard the cream of the crop of straight-laced, holiness-directed, clean-living preachers. You've heard the cream of the crop. And I really don't know what it would take to get the attention of some who have heard over the years some of the finest preaching that's available in the whole world. I don't know what it would take to move some folks who've heard that kind of preaching. I'm back to this concept of inoculation again. When you've heard dynamic preaching, where do you go for an encore? I'll tell you where you go. You either stay warm and tender and soft and you stay revived, or the only other option is you get hard. And you say, I've heard Johnny Pope. I've heard Bob Jones. I've heard Lee Robertson. I've heard Bob Gray from Florida. What else is there to hear? You watch it. You may be headed for a heart that thinks you've arrived and that there's nothing left for you to learn. It's called the hard heart. There's not a person in this building, including myself, but what there are things for us to learn until we draw our last breath. And you be careful in this mecca of fundamentalism called Northwest Indiana. You be careful that because you've heard so much, you just don't let it become the cause of hardening your heart to think that you've arrived or that you've heard all the preaching that you'll ever need to hear. Be very careful. The plain fact is, it's easier to preach to dear Catholic folk who've never heard the gospel. And often it's easier to preach to Buddhists and Hindus than it is a group of independent Baptists who think they've heard it all, seen it all, and know it all. There's tremendous judgment on the hard heart. Turn to Luke 10. Luke 10. I alluded to this several weeks ago when we first started this little series within the overall expository series. Luke 10, 12. Jesus said, and he's talking about the towns that had had the greatest exposure to the gospel. He's talking about the towns that had seen the greatest miracles and by rights should have been the most responsive because they'd seen and heard the most. And he says in verse 12 of Luke 10, "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, you think you've seen it all, experienced it all, heard it all? You, exalted to heaven, as far as opportunity and exposure to blessings go, you shall be thrust down to hell." Hard ground is prepared for severe judgment. Much more severe judgment than those who did not hear it so often and therefore did not have opportunity to get so hard. Have to move to the second kind of soil, that's rocky soil, back in the 8th chapter, verse 6. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. This is shallow soil. Notice here the preposition is upon. In the last kind, the preposition was by. The seed fell by the wayside. Here the preposition is upon. The seed fell upon a rock. And there's a layer, a thin, shallow layer of soil on top of the rock. And the seed falls there and the rain comes. And because there's a little bit of soil, the seed takes root. But because the soil is shallow, the roots can't go very far for moisture. And because the soil is shallow, there can be no maturation. And it just withers after a very short time. There's rapid response, but just as rapid withering. This is a picture of the shallow heart. The superficial emotional heart. The fickle heart. The heart that's easily stirred by a tear-jerking story from the pastor or an evangelist. The heart that's easily stirred, even to tears. But withers just as quickly. And most pastors have met them by the dozens. I've met them by the hundreds. Oh, you can count on me, preacher. I'm moved. I'm stirred. You can count on me. 3 weeks later, you cannot find them to save your life. Shallow hearers. Fickle. Easily stirred. But no depth of root or conviction. People who get convictions are changed. People who don't get the deepening root of conviction just live on emotion as long as it lasts, and then they are gone. They're out of here. The shallow soil wears the face of the rich young ruler. The shallow soil wears the face of the rich young ruler. Luke 18. I have to move so quickly, I'll not turn. Luke 18, 18 and 23. "Oh, Master, I would follow you. I would follow you. I would follow you, Master. I'm so stirred. I would follow you wherever you go. Count on me, Master. Well, that's interesting. I'm glad to hear it. Sell what you have and follow me with a cross. Skedaddle. That's Canadian for he's out of there. He's gone. Jesus looked around and couldn't find him. Now, he just said a few moments before, I'll go with you anywhere. He wouldn't even go with Jesus to sell his stocks and bonds, let alone to a cross. He wouldn't even go with Jesus to give to missions, let alone to the cross. He wouldn't even go with Jesus to give above the tithe for special projects, let alone to the cross. He was emotionally stirred, but not convicted. And he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. A shallow hearer. May God teach me the difference between a genuine, deep, changing emotion and that emotion which is just mere fickle behavior. There's another one. The shallow soil is also represented by the face of the second sun. The face of the second sun also represents the shallow soil. Matthew 21, verse 30. Matthew 21, 30. Remember when the father said to the two sons, I have something I need you to do. He said to the first son, go and do this. And the first son said, no way. I'm not doing it. But the Bible says, afterward, the first son repented, changed his mind, and by the way, changed his behavior. So much for this new definition of repentance. That repentance is just a change of mind that doesn't affect behavior. That's one of the biggest heresies being foisted off on independent Baptists for the last 15 years. It's a new definition of repentance. You can have a change of mind, a real change of mind, without it ever affecting your behavior. That is double talk. That's trying to have your cake and eat it too. That's talking out of both sides of your mouth. The first son said, I'm not going. No, Daddy. But the Bible says he repented, he changed, and thought better of it, and afterward he went. And then the daddy said to the second son, I want you to go this and do this for me. And the second son, yes, sir, absolutely, absolutely, right away, Daddy. I sure do love you, Daddy. I'd do anything for you. But he went not. He was mere emotion. Mere crocodile tears. He was shallow. The shallow hero is also personified in John Bunyan's Pliable in the Immortal Pilgrim's Progress. Pliable. Stirred briefly. Riding high spiritually briefly. But very quickly deterred from the course of discipleship. Pliable, fickle, shallow. The third one is the thorny soil. We find it in verse 7. The thorny soil receives the word with joy. Again, the initial response seems to be good. There's joy there initially. But thorns spring up and choke out the seed. So growth is stopped. And what seemed to be life is found to be dead very soon. This is a wild, uncultivated piece of ground. Like the new property we got with dandelions and thistles and milkweed. And it seems like for every 10 dandelions I take out, 20 more come back. And they come back overnight. Amen. Wild, uncultivated ground with lots of thorns and thistles and weeds growing up. And you know, it's true. Wherever you find the dandelion, the grass can't grow on that precise spot. And wherever you find a thistle, grass cannot grow on that precise spot. Both cannot grow there at the same time. So it chokes out the room. where the grass, there's an appearance of growth, but no strong root, because the root is choked with thorns. And this is a picture of a heart that's preoccupied with cares, pleasures. Now you see, a lot of us would say, oh, we escape from the category of thorns being pleasures. We don't go to nightclubs. We don't watch pornography. We don't go to the boats and do the casinos. We're not choked out by pleasures, thorns of pleasures, but we're choked out by thorns of cares or worries. Two different kinds of thorns. In case you wonder, well, I've already told you, I don't do the boats. I'm the worry kind. The worry kind. And my Bible tells me if I don't watch this worry thing, it'll choke out growth. Well, I wonder, Lord, what's Brother So-and-so going to say if I preach it this way? I wonder what Sister So-and-so will think if I preach it that way. Worry can be a thorn. The fear of man can be a thorn to choke out growth and going on with the Lord. So most of us don't come under the category of the boats and the nightclubs. But there are other cares and thorns that can choke out the liberty and the joy that we once knew when we professed to start with the Lord. You see, it starts in joy, but both the boats and pornography and worry will choke out the original joy. And the seed is suffocated by what I call earthly clutter. The seed is suffocated by earthly clutter. Oh my, North American society is getting so cluttered. There's so many things to preoccupy our attention. You know what I'm doing before we move two houses down? I am going to the flea market. Now my wife is back there saying, I'll believe it when I see it. But she knows it's true because I've done it before. I'm going to divest myself of a lot of stuff in the basement. Either that or leave it for Brother Hefner. But North American society gets so cluttered. You know, my friends, when are we going to wake up and realize if we don't have it, we can't worry about it. If we don't have it, we can't lose it. But the seed, the Word of God, and its intention to bring growth in our lives is suffocated by earthly clutter and temporal idols, the deceitfulness of riches, or the other extreme. Someone says, well, I'm not married to money and stocks and bonds. I'm just wanting to go to heaven before my time. You're on the other end of the dock. You're married to mystical escapism. That's the deceitfulness, not of riches, but that's the other end of things. That's the deceitfulness of mystical escapism. Well, I don't want to stay here anymore. I just want to go to heaven. Mystical escapism. Look, as long as God leaves you here, He's got a ministry for you. And just as truly as riches can be deceitful, so this mystical escapism, you know, pie in the sky by and by, don't want to do soul winning here, don't want to go to the mission field here, just get me out of here as quick as possible. That's the escapism of mysticism. Both are deceitful. Temporal values, riches are deceitful. On the other hand, mystical escapism is deceitful. God wants us to serve Him faithfully as long as He leaves us here. But either one of these extremes, materialism or mystical escapism, can serve as thorns to choke out our present tense growth and our present tense service for the Lord. Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And others are so earthly minded, they never get around to serving the eternal. Either end of the dock is very deceiving. They're all thorns that rob the joy and stifle the growth. Well, I've got to close. I'll just say that Achan, who saw the wedge of gold and the goodly garment and coveted, Achan wears the face of the thorny soil. And Gehazi also wears the face of the thorny soil. Remember, he was the prophet's servant. And God used the prophet to give instructions to bring healing from leprosy for Naaman. And this prophet was quite a preacher. He's one of the few preachers I've ever met who turned down a love offering. But he believed it would be too close in that setting, too close to a bribe, and making him beholden to a pagan king. So when the pagan king offered him a love offering for being the instrument of the message, you just wash in the river seven times and you'll be clean. He said, no, you keep it. You just keep your gift. But the servant, the understudy was watching. And he was saying, has my preacher lost his senses turning down those gifts? Has he lost his senses rejecting that love offering? And after the preacher went in the house, the servant Gehazi ran after the king and said, well, I'll receive it on behalf of my master. Oh, what a liar. I'll take it. I'll see it get to the right place. He's on thorny ground. His life is being choked by the deceitfulness of riches. Well, I close with a very brief look at the last kind of soil, the good soil. That's fruitful. Fruitful soil. It's mentioned in verse 8. Here the preposition is on. The seed fell on good ground. I want to point out, however, that in the Matthew account of the same parable, Matthew 13, you check it out when you go home. Matthew's inspired account of the same teaching. Matthew 13, verses 8 and 23. The preposition is into. The seed fell into good ground. What have we had? We've had seed by the wayside. Seed upon a rock, seed among thorns, and the last is on in the sense of into good ground. When I was a little boy, up at Stater Campgrounds, I went to the children's meetings. Every year, I learned to love puppetry and object lessons almost every time. Those children's workers would ask us to finish by singing, Into My Heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Would you sing it with me if you know it? Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Every year, those children's workers, that was the invitation chorus. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, you need to qualify it. Okay, I will. I know it means come into my life. I know that. And we ought to tell boys and girls that when we sing it. We ought to explain it. Come into my life. Come into the center of my life. Save me, change me. But my point is, the seed is coming in or coming into. It's permeating. This is not just surface or superficial. This is permeation. Down in there, where it can make lifelong change and growth. You say, well, put a face on the good soil. I will. Her name is Lydia. Amen. She was good soil. Good soil looks like Lydia. In Acts 16:14, the Bible says, Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. She's got the face of good soil. And then finally, the little man. Don't you ever if you're a gentleman and short of stature, don't you ever feel badly about that. Winston Churchill was 5'6". And they didn't call Napoleon the little general for nothing. He was short. God can use you regardless of your height. But the little man, Zacchaeus, he heard about this famous Jesus, said, "I want to learn more. Climbed up a tree." And he got more than a bird's eye view. He got an eternal view that day. Jesus said, "Come on down. I'm going to come and have a spot of tea with you." That's King James. "Come on down. I'm going to have a spot of tea with you. I must abide at your house." And he came down and they had their spot of tea and their Israeli bread. And Jesus changed his life forever and ever, because little Zacchaeus, though he had been a cheat and a crook, he was good soil and he knew truth when he met it. And he got saved and changed. Good soil. He let the seed fall into his life and make a regenerating, converting difference.
Very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.